Okay, today we're learning Nida Ayin Bet. If anyone in all the excitement has decided to start learning Nida at this point, so just beware, these tefim are not the most typical, but a little complicated, but we'll get through it, and soon we're starting Bracha. Okay, we went through the Mishnah yesterday. Haro'ah yom echadasar v'tavla la'erev. I'm just reviewing the beginning of the Mishnah. If a woman sees on the 11th day of Zava, what happens on the 11th day of Zava? Well, normally a Zava needs to wait the next day to check if she's going to keep bleeding, because she might turn into a Zava G'dola, which would be 3 days, and then she'd need already 7 clean days. But if she were to see the following day, since women are generally on a cycle, if they see 7 days are first their Nida days, then the next days are potential Zava days. So basically, once you're done with that 11th Zava day, the next day is a potential Nida day, so she can never turn into a Zava G'dola. So there's a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about what if, the first machloket is, what if she tovel that night? Normally, you're not supposed to tovel at night. You're supposed to tovel the next day, because what happens? Well, we let you tovel in the morning because we say Miktzah HaYom Kekulo. Part of the day is like the whole day. So you can already, you don't see blood in the morning, you can go to the mikvah. However, you have to wait till the end of the day to become pure. In this case, she not only didn't wait till the end of that day, but already that night, she went to the mikvah, which she's not really supposed to do. However, since there's really no issue of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom here, maybe it's okay. Beit Shammai had said, no, she's actually a full-fledged Zava. It's irrelevant, her tefillah, because she's Mitame Mishkav Moshav, like a Zava, and she needs to bring a korban for having slept with her husband when she was a Zava. Beit Hillel had said, no, she's actually exempt from the korban. However, we mentioned, even though it doesn't say it, notice they don't address the issue of Mishkav Moshav, and in fact, she's Mitame Mishkav Moshav. So now we're going to start the Gemara, which brings a braita, with a bit of a back and forth between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Tanu Rabbanan, v'shavim b'tovelet laila. They both agree that if she tovels at night, lezava, she'ena tefila. Everyone agrees that if she tovels at night, it's not a tefila. Now, this is a little weird. Didn't we just say they have a machloket about it? So now they're going to explain. V'shavim v'ro'a b'toch yud alef yom, v'tavla la'ere v'shimsha, that's the case they agree about. If she sees within the 11 days, meaning a day where she's actually supposed to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, right? Not on the 11th, but if she tovels, not the night after the 11th, but let's say, let's just take it random. She sees for 7 days, she sees on day number 7, that's her first day she sees some blood. The night of the 8th, already that night, she goes to the mikveh. Everybody agrees in that case that going to the mikveh when you need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom is an irrelevant act. She's Matami Mishkav Umoshav, and she and the Chayav Korban if she sleeps with her husband. But Lo Nechleku, remember, Mishkav Umoshav, there's two issues. One is relating to if she touches items that are supposed to be pure, she can create, you know, she can transfer Tumah to them. And if she sleeps with her husband, well, that's forbidden, so there's that issue. Lo nechleku ela. So what's the machloket about? B'yom yud alef yom. Okay, the only machloket is on the 11th specifically, meaning the night of the 12th, that night after the 11th. In that case, Beit Shammai Amrim, and this is just a review of what we learned, mitami mishkav u'moshav chayvim b'korban u'beit hillel potrim mikorban. So remember, Beit Shammai says everything still applies, and Beit Hillel says, no, she actually doesn't have to bring a korban for having slept with her husband when she was a zava. Her mikveh is effective. Because again, she doesn't need to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Amru lahem Beit Shammai leBeit Hillel. So now Beit Shammai comes to Beit Hillel and says, "Hey, I have two questions for you. Maishna Yom Echad miYom Toch Echad. Number one, what's really the difference whether she goes to the mikveh at night if it was after the 11th day or after randomly day number 7? Let's say." And furthermore, im shivalo l'tumah lo yishvelo l'korban. If you already think, Beit Hillel, that it's not effective for taharot, meaning anything she sits on or lies on is going to be impure, then why wouldn't you say she's also chayav korban? Why are you making this distinction between tumah and korban? So amru lahem Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says lebeit Shammai, lo, no, I disagree with you. And he addresses the first question. Im amarta b'toch yud alef yom sheken yom shalacharav mitzarefi moliziva. Tomu b'yom yud alef she'en yom shalacharav mitzarefi moliziva. Those are two totally different things. When you're in the middle, so the next day could potentially join your zava day, your already zava day, create another zava day, which then could create maybe the next day and you be a zava gedola. That's why your tefillah is ineffective if you do it at night. But when you have a case where you're already going into nida days, Well, that's something different. Really, your finish is up at this point, and your tefillah, effectively, it's effective. So, amru lehem beit shamai, yishvu midotechem, but then be consistent. Im shivalo letuma, yishvelo lekorban. Vim lo shivalo lekorban, lo yishvelo letuma. If you think the tefillah is effective, well, then it should be effective across the board. Why are you saying you don't have to bring a korban when you, in fact, have to treat the person as if she's tume'ah and can transfer impurities? So, amru lehem beit hillel, he says, there's a big difference. Why? And this is something we see all the time. Im hivyanu lidei tuma lahachmir, lo nevi'ehu lidei korban lahakel. By saying that we're going to treat her as still able to transfer impurities, that's a chumrah. That's saying we're going to treat her lechumrah, we're going to be extra careful. Why are we going to do a chumrah here? Well, because if we allow her, if we say, if you tovelden at night of night number 12, right after day number 11, we allow her tefillah to be effective for tumantara, then she'll think that what? If she did it on the night of the 8th, let's say, after her, she bled on day number 7, night of the 8th, she goes to the mikvah, she'll think that that's also effective. So we want to make a gzerah so she doesn't get confused, so we're machmir. What's the problem with korban? If we're machmir to be machayev her korban, what happens? That becomes a kula. What's it a kula for? Well, it's a kula for the din of chulin you can't bring chulin la'azara. Okay, you're not allowed to bring, you can't bring a korban, maybe I'm chayev a korban, right? Unless you can turn it into a nidava. We had that just the other day. You can turn it into voluntary. But in this case, you can't let her bring a korban. This isn't the type of korban that can be a voluntary. You can't make her bring a korban when she's not chayav a korban. So that will end up being a kula, or really, you know, you'll end up having a separate issue. So therefore, I distinguish between tuma and korban. Ve'od, and furthermore, Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, mi divrechem atem noshchim or noshnim, which means you yourself contradict yourselves, Beit Shammai. Shatem omrim, because you yourselves say, tavla yom shela achara v'shimsha, if she goes to the mikvah one day after, okay, this is the case of when she's within Yud Aleph, okay? So they say, right, that's the case, yom shela achara v'shimsha. Sorry, my confusion, it's when she bled on the 11th. You yourselves say, tavla yom shela achara, if she goes to the mikvah, now, not the case we've been discussing at night, but if she goes to the mikveh in the morning, what did Beit Shammai say? Vishimsha, and then she has sexual relations with her husband. Ba'achar kach ra'ata, and then what happened later on in the day, she ends up bleeding. Mitame mishkavu moshav uptura mena korban. You yourselves made a distinction between tuma and korban. Okay, so therefore, why did you make this distinction? It must be, right? Afatem ishvu midotechem, right? Beit Hillel uses the exact same wording and says, hey, you said we were inconsistent, you yourselves were inconsistent. You should also line up your ideas. Im shivalo l'tuma, yishvelo l'korban. Im lo shivalo l'korban, lo yishvelo l'tuma, right? It's got to be all or nothing according to what you're saying, and then here you're not saying that. Ella, it must be, why do you say that? Lahachmir v'lo lahakel. It must be, that's why you said it that way. Again, for the same reason, we can be a machmir and tumah, but when it comes to korban, that turns into a bit of an issue because we're bringing, or a serious issue, can't bring chulin lasara. So therefore, just like you said it there when she tovels in the day, hachanami lahachmir v'lo lahakel. I'll make that same distinction at night. Okay, now we're starting with the statement of Rav Huna. We're going to have a few questions on Rav Huna coming also from our Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna. Mishkava u'moshava shebasheni. Okay, now we're talking about a woman within her 11 days, not day number 11 anymore. Let's just stick with our example of day number 7. She bleeds on day number 7. Now, the sheni shela becomes the second day, meaning the day she's shomer at Yom Keneged Yom, which is day number 8. Her mishkava moshav on that day, Beit Shammai mitamim, af al pi shetavla. Okay, so Beit Shammai says, right, this makes sense, consistent with what we've said until now. She's going to be Tmei'ah, her Mishkav and Moshav, even if she goes to the mikveh in the morning, presumably. Af alpi, here comes the big thing, shelo ra'ata. Meaning, that woman on that day, the entire day, it doesn't matter. Even if she doesn't end up bleeding, anything she comes in contact with is going to be impure. Okay, so let's say the day ends, she never saw blood. The whole idea, what does it mean, shomer yom keneged yom? She's checking to see if she bleeds. This woman, we say, even if she doesn't end up bleeding, okay, my taima, what's the reason why she's going to be everything she touched is going to be tmeah, even if she doesn't end up bleeding. Kevan di ilu chazya mitama, since if she were to have seen, she'd have made them tmeah. Hashtanami mitamia. It's not the best proof, but he says, just like, it's kind of like, not because, but just like, if she ends up seeing blood that day, she would be mitame all the stuff that she had handled. Therefore, we're going to basically treat this day as a day of tumah, no matter what. Okay, so that we don't end up with a situation where she thinks it's okay, even though she ends up bleeding later. So first question on Rav Huna is this. Okay, so the main thing Rav Huna is saying, I want to just remind you, and I'll put it on the board so that we're going to keep going back to this. Afilu lo ra'ata. Okay, so she tovels in the morning, even if she doesn't see all day, all her stuff, right? Anything she dealt with is going to be impure. So comes Rav Yosef. The first question is, what's the chidush in what you're saying? Amar Rav Yosef, my kamashmalan. Tanina, we already learned this from a Mishnah. Now, we didn't exactly learn this from a Mishnah, but we're going to say that the cases are analogous. Okay, we're going to say, seeing on the second day of your, you know, on the day you're shomeret yom kineged, I'm sorry, toveling on the morning, and then we're going to say everything is tameh, even if you didn't see, is going to be analogous to the case in our Mishnah of someone who tovels on the day of the 12th day, when she's already outside of Zava. Tavla yom shalachara b'shimshat beitak, she tovels on day number 12, and then she sleeps with her husband, v'achar kach ra'ata, and then she does see blood. Now, this is a case of seeing, okay? But what's the difference? I'm sorry, what's the similarity? Seeing on day number 12 is like not seeing on day number 8. Why? Or day number 2, whatever you want to call it. Why? Because seeing on day number 12 is not zava blood. It's nida blood. So it's as if the same case. You follow? Since on day number 8, in our example, if she sees blood, if she doesn't see any blood, so she doesn't see any blood, right? And Yepe Chamai says she's tmeah. That's analogous to when she's on day number 12 and she sees blood, because that's as if she didn't see blood. Because the blood she sees on day number 12 is nida blood and not zava blood. Okay? So, that's what he's making this comparison. Soon we'll say maybe those are two not good comparisons. But basically says, why are you teaching this? We already learned which would be the same thing. She's tmeah mishkavu moshav. Okay, so Amar Rav Kahana ra'ata shane. Rav Kahana says it's true, it's nida blood, but she still did see blood, and that's why there's impurity there. We're going to just say her impurity. You know, we're going to connect the blood of nida zava to the blood of nida. Whereas here, there's no blood at all, so it's not the same thing. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef goes back to say, no, the way we read it the first way made sense, because v'chi ra'ata mai havya ri'a d'nidahi. But that, who cares? It's ri'a of nida, it's not ri'a of zava. So Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Abaye now tries to explain what Rav Kahana meant when he said that. Hachi kakashile. Bishlama hecha de ra'ata. I understand in a case of ra'ata, which is our Mishnah, we're going to say that. Why? Gazrinam ri'a d'nida atu ri'a d'zava. Right, we're going to say on day number 12 when she sees, right? Day number 12 is dam nida, and you know from day number 1 to day number 11 is zava. Now we're going to be goes there if she sees on day number 12, even though it's nida blood and it's not zava blood, because we're worried that if we allow it, she'll come to get confused on her zava days and think that if this happened in the middle of her zava days, it would be okay. And it's really not okay then, because she really has to be shomeret yom kineged yom. And if she ends up bleeding, well, then it turns out she was a zava that whole time. And of course she's impure. So there we could see, once she sees blood, we could see where it goes her to in a different case where she sees blood. But elahecha delo ra'ata mai nigzerba. But why should we be goes there? Why should we make her be forbidden on a day again? What's this shomeret yom kineged yom? We're just checking to make sure she goes to the mikveh in the morning. This goes back to what we've discussed in general about, and we had this yesterday. A tvul yom has already gone to the mikveh, so they're somewhat pure already. They just have to wait till the end of the day, right? Harev shemesh, right? This is going to lead into bracha, right? Seder kochavim, to be pure. However, it's only in case they end up bleeding. But if they don't really end up bleeding, then why should we retroactively make all the tumah she touched that day tmeot? It doesn't, the tarot, you touch that day, tmeot, it makes no sense. So basically, there he says, those two are different cases. Okay, so that was the first question, and we resolved that. Second question on Rav Huna. Again, just to keep reminding you, Rav Huna said that according to Beit Shammai, what do we say? That if this woman didn't see on that day, right, if she doesn't end up seeing, on day number 8, let's say, in the middle of her Zava days, she doesn't end up seeing, still any taros she dealt with are going to be Tmeim. So, V'otznan, here's another Mishnah that's going to be a problematic. This is the first Mishnah in Zav. Haro'eh riyah hachal zov. Okay, the Zav sees a first. You remember the Zav? The first thing, the first day he sees blood, what do we say? The first not day, the first sighting of, not blood, sorry. The first sighting of his discharge, remember it's not blood. The first sighting of his discharge, we treat him like a tumat keri. We treat him like a regular person who has semen coming out. Now, that's a different type of tumah than Zav. When he sees the second time, right, it could be on the same day, he sees the second time, then he's called the Zav, he has to wait Sheva Nekiyim. Right, before that, he only has to wait one day. That one day, he's tameh. Already the next day, he's fine. Once he sees three sightings, then already he has to bring a korban. Okay? But two already turns him into a Zav, one doesn't. So now, you have an interesting thing. He's basically in a holding pattern like this woman, which means what? He's in a holding pattern. He's waiting to see, will he see another Riyah? If he sees another Riyah, what will happen? Well, if he sees again, we'll say, your first one must have been Zav. Ubeit Hillel Amrim Kibal Keri. Beit Hillel says, no. The first sighting, okay, here's number one, here's number two, these sees. The first sighting is never going to be called Zav. Okay? You only become a Zav at the second sighting and not retroactively. First sighting is always going to be Tuma Bal Keri, which is just, that day. You don't have to, right, you're still going to wait and see, and if you see a second Riyah, then from that moment on, you're considered Zav. According to Beit Shammai, retroactively, we say you were Zav from the beginning. Vitanya, now why is this relevant? Well, there's different laws of Tumah and Tahara when it comes to a Zav and a Bal Keri. A Zav is much more chamor, and we have what's called Tumat Hesed, Tumat Masa. If they carry something without touching it, it's going to be Tameh, whereas someone who's a Bal Keri is not. So now what happens? Now there's a braita about that Mishnah. Hamesita tariya. If, let's say, the stuff that came out of his body from the first ri'iyah, the first time he saw it, somebody moves it. Okay, that's tumat hesed or tumat masa. Beit Shammai amrim tolin. According to Beit Shammai, this makes a lot of sense. We have to wait and see. If he sees another ri'iyah, since retroactively, that will make it tumat zav. Well, we're going to have to hold it. It'll be in a holding pattern until we determine, was that first sighting of Zav or was it not? Beit Hillel, obviously, l'shitatam, are going to say, mitaharim, mishkavot, u'moshavot. Okay, they say no. Oh, sorry, mitaharim, period. They say no, there's no tumat hesed there. Okay, there's no issue because no matter what, Beit Hillel says, that first one is always bal keri. It's only from the second one we're going to call it a Zav. Now, they say, what about Mishkavot and Moshavot? Again, Mishkav and Moshav is only a law for Zav, not for a Bal Keri. Meaning, right, things he sits on, things he lies on, become Tameh. So any things that he sat on, lied on, Bein Riyah Rishona, Riyah Shnia, are going to be the exact same thing. Beit Shammai told him, we wait to see what happens. Was this just going to be like a Shechvat Zeret Tumah? Or if they see a second sighting, then retroactively it'll be Zav, according to Beit Shammai. Ubeit Hillel Mitaharim. Okay, now, what... Again, where were we? We're trying to say we have a problem with what Rav Huna said before. Now, V'katane Reisha, it said earlier, now notice what we said, Haro'eh Riyah Hachal Zov, right, this was in the Mishnah, what did it say? If you see one Riyah Zov, what did Beit Shammai said? Kishomeret, what did they say? Kishomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Okay, so now, this is what we call the distributive property. Beit Shammai said, it's Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Then in the Braita, Beit Shammai said, Tolin. What does that mean? Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom is a din of Tolin. Meaning, when you're in that whole day, you're in a holding pattern. If you see, things will be Tameh. If you don't see, things won't be Tameh. What did Rav Huna say? Doesn't matter if she saw or didn't see, no matter what, a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom is Tameh. So now we have a contradiction. It doesn't seem to match with what Rav Huna says. So how do they answer? Lo tema shomeret yom keneged yom, ela ema kibo el shomeret yom keneged yom.
He's not like a shomeret yom keneged yom. He's like a bo el shomeret yom keneged yom. He's like someone who sleeps with a woman who's a shomeret yom keneged yom. In that case, would be tolin. Okay, so then we say these are two different shomeret yom keneged yom. When we talked about the woman That's Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. When we talk about the Zav, we're going to put him into a lower status, a status of someone who slept with a woman who's Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, where his Tumah is a lower level. Now we're going to have to say, why do we distinguish between a Bo'el Shomer Yom Keneged Yom and a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Because theoretically, if you sleep with a woman who's a Zava, you're going to have all the Tumah and Tarot also, Mishkav Moshe. So why are we going to be Mekel with a Bo'el Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Maishna Ihu Delomatami Mishkav Moshav. Why are we going to say that a Bo'el Shomer Yom Keneged Yom is going to be in a status of Tolim? We wait to see. Okay, again, what does this mean? This means he slept with the woman while she was in the status of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. We're going to wait till the end of that day. If she didn't bleed, then he's fine. If she did bleed, then we're going to say anything he lied on is going to be Tameh. So what's the difference between him and her? That she, according to Beit Shammah, is no matter what, anything she dealt with that day is impure. But when it comes to him, not. So Mashna Yehu Dematamile, what's the reason? Ihu Delo Shchicha Beidamim Lo Gazer Barabanan. He is not generally someone who bleeds, so therefore we're not going to be mitame anything he came in contact with. But ihi dishlicha beidamim, we've seen this before. A woman bleeds a lot, therefore gazer barabana. Okay, therefore they're going to say, for her we would gozer because she's a woman who generally bleeds, and he's not. Therefore we're not going to be gozer on his mishkav and moshav. Again, he'll be in a holding pattern to wait and see what happened. Did she bleed or not? She will not be.
And again, they're not differentiating by the woman or whether she's still bleeding or whether she hasn't.
Right, so the woman, no matter what, again, individually according somewhere. To Beit Shammah, the way Rav Huna is understanding Beit Shammah, she's going to be, anything she came in contact with that day is going to be a problem. Whereas he, it will depend on whether or not she bleeds. Umayshna mishkav umoshav demitamile, umayshna boel delomitamile. But now think about it. Now we're going to look from, this is kind of looking from a different angle. We're basically saying that anything when she's in that day and she hasn't yet, and even if she doesn't bleed, what are we going to say? Her mishkav and moshav is tameh no matter what. But if she sleeps with her husband, he doesn't become tameh, right? And it's her that's passing on the tumah. So she's passing on tumah to mishkav and moshav. She's not passing it on to her husband. So that's weird. So what do they answer? No, mishkav and moshav de shachiach. It's very common. I mean, she doesn't stand up all day. She's obviously sitting on things. So mishkav and moshav, which is very common, we're going to be metamile. Because why? Gezera, we always say milta de lo shachiach lo gazru bo rabbanan. The rabbis didn't institute any kind of chumrot, any kind of stringencies on cases that weren't very common. But it was very common that she sits on something that day. But bo'el, but it's not so common that she sleeps with her husband when she's forbidden to. She's really forbidden to sleep with her husband. So it's uncommon for a woman when she's forbidden to her husband to actually sleep with him. Therefore, bo'el de lo shachiach lo metamia. So therefore, we're not going to say he's tameh. Tanan. Now we're going to quote another part of another mission. Tavla yom shela acharav vishimsha harezo tarbut ra'a. Okay, so now if a woman tovels in a mikvah the day after, right? I just have to remember because we keep going back between cases of yud aleph and we're on the 11th day or in the middle. We're in the middle here. Okay, remember? Okay. So I actually found a mistake. I was looking in the Koran this morning. They actually say there's a mistake in the Koran there. It says that it's on the day of the 11th, okay? At least, unless there's someone who thinks that, but I think it's not the case. I think it's just an error. Anyway, Detanya, Amar Lehem, sorry, I missed it. Detnan. Tavla Yom Shel Acharav. So if she tovels on the 12th day, Vishimsha, and then sleeps with her husband, Harezo Tarbut Ra'a, this is a bad kind of thing to do. Now, when you hear that, what does it mean? It's not exactly usur, but shouldn't do it. Maga'an ubi'ilatan tluyim. And anything she touches, or if she sleeps with her husband, that's all in a holding pattern. So now, the Gemara assumes right now, my lav divrei akoldi, in which case, if everyone agrees with this, both Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel, then again, this is our third and final question on Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, there's no holding pattern, no matter what, whether she sees or not, everything's tameh. So they say, isn't this divrei akoldi? So they say, no, Beit Hillel, no, you could just say simply, this Mishnah holds like Beit Hillel. And furthermore, we'll prove it. Ditanya, about this Mishnah, it was said, Amar Lehem Rabbi Yehuda, although there's some kind of different girsa out that it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda. It could be Amar Lehem Beit Shammai, Le Beit Hillel, which will make more sense. V'chi lezoatem korim tarbut ra'ah? Okay, they say, right, it makes a lot more sense, by the way, if you say it's Beit Shammai, then it's clear it's not Beit Shammai. They said, why are you calling this a tarbu ra'ah? Halolonis kabenze elelivolatanida. This is way worse than a tarbu ra'ah. This is a guy who's trying to sleep with his wife when she's in Nida. Well, First of all, wait a minute. Nidas halkadatak? Where do we get to nidas? She's a zava. Ela ema livola tazava. Okay. First correction is, it didn't mean nida, they meant zava. Right? We're already done, by the way, with why we brought this. We brought this to show this is only Beit Hillel, not Beit Shammai, therefore there's no question on Rav Huna, because this has nothing to do with Beit Shammai's opinion, and he was only talking about Beit Shammai's opinion. But now we have to understand, what did they say? And they said, what, zava sakadatak? She's not a zava either. She went to the mikveh already. So she's not actually a zava, and she's not even in her zava days. So ela ema livol shomeret yom keneged yom. They say, what it means is that you're boel, someone who's, you know, again, she's not exactly a shomeret yom keneged yom, but she theoretically is still in her day after zava. Okay, now we get to another machloket. Itmar. Asiri. On the 11th day already, we say there's no shomeret yom keneged yom. Now, what's the whole purpose of shomeret yom keneged yom? To see if she's going to become a zava gedola. So she has to do it if she bleeds one day, and she has to do it if she bleeds 2 days, right? Every day she has to check to see if she gets to three. What if you're in the 10th day? We've seen this machloket before. You're in the 10th day. Well, theoretically, you can't become a zava gedola either. It's not just an issue for the 11th. It's also an issue for the 10th. Because, right, it's true, you might bleed on the 11th, but if you bleed on the 12th, you're already not a zava gedola. So there's a machloket about the 10th day. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asiri Kitshi'i. The 10th is like the 9th. Matshi'i Ba'i Shimur. Just like the 9th, you need to wait Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Af Asiri Ba'i Shimur. But Rish Lakish Amar Asiri Ka'achadasar. Ma Achadasar Lo Ba'i Shimur. Af Asiri Lo Ba'i Shimur. So Rish Lakish says, no, it's gonna, since you can't become a Zava Gdola, you don't need Shimur. However, Rabbi Yochanan thinks you do. Ika Dematne La'ahad. There were some people, and this is going to take us toward the end of the Masechet, which is, some people say that this discussion happened based in the following way. Amar Le Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah Le Rabbi Akiva. Okay, you're missing the beginning. Rabbi Akiva was discussing totally unrelated issue, the shear of a Nazir. A Nazir, now there's Korbanot Lachmei Todah and Lachmei Nazir. They each have to bring loaves of bread. Remember the 40 loaves for the Todah. There's 20 for the Nazir. And each one has a particular amount of oil that we're going to see. And Rabbi Akiva was learning from Psukim how we get to the amount of how much oil you need. So Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says to him, Afilu atam marbeh bashemen, bishemen, bashemen. Even if you start darshening all the times it says bishemen, bashemen, and to get to your shiur, kol hayom kulo, you can darshen those Psukim all day long if you want. I'm not going to listen to you anyway. Why? Ela chatzilog shemen litodah uRevi'it. It should be not yayin. Revi'it shemen linazil ve'achad. Okay, now so those two things and a third thing, which is going to relate to us. Ba'achadasar yom shebein nida l'nida halacha l'Moshe miSinai. All these three things are halacha l'Moshe miSinai. They're not learned out of psukim. You can try to darshan all you want. They don't come from the verses. They come from a very old masoret. We have a long-standing tradition about this, and that's where it comes from. So, the Gemara says, my halacha. What's this achadasar yom shebein nida l'nida? Now, this is interesting. We've learned this many times. What does it mean? There's a tradition that, okay, and I'm going to tell you what it means, but in a minute we're going to actually learn that according to the Gemara here, they mean something else. Okay? Chadasar yamim shebein nida l'nida means that there's 7 days of nida, and the next 11 days are potential zava days, and after that you go back to being a potential nida. However, some people actually have a different girsa here, and it's not achadasar yom, it's yom achadasar. Okay, it's the 11th day, and that's the girsa here.
And only the 11th?
Yeah, so only the 11th day, and then we're going to have to say, what do we mean here? Okay, so the 11th day between is the halacha l'Moshe miSinai, and then you're going to, okay, then this raises a whole question. This, and I didn't really pursue this enough, but it raises a whole question. Does that mean that this is an additional statement to the thing that we've already learned? Achadasar yom shebein nida l'nida is a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, or is that actually not the case according to this Gemara, and that's not what the halacha l'Moshe miSinai? The halacha l'Moshe miSinai is only regarding the 11th day and the 10th day, which we're going to see. So my halacha, what is this halacha l'Moshe miSinai here? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, halachat yud aleph. It's the day of the 11th, meaning the day of the 11th has a different status than all the other days. This matches Rabbi Yochanan, who said, the asiri is like the 9th. You do count shomeret yom keneged yom on day number 10, but you don't on day number 11. Rish Lakish Amar, halachot achadasar. He says it's plural, meaning, right, that it's both 10 and 11. Rabbi Yochanan Amar halacha achadasar achadasar hu delo ba'i shimur halachrine avid shimur. Right? Again, this is just explaining what we just said. He says the halacha l'Moshe miSinai here is that only the 11th doesn't need shomer yom keneged yom, but the 10th would. And Rish Lakish Amar halachot achadasar, meaning It's plural. Lo acharasar bai shimor velo shimor la'asiri. You also don't need on the 10th. So now, Hane, then that's where Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish came about, because they were discussing this halacha l'moshe misinai, what is it? Hane halachot ninu. So, okay, so let's stop here. Okay, we'll pick up with this in the next shiur.